No panic. It's organic. The way that nature intended it. No panic.
Hello, everybody. This is Andy Lopez. I'm trying to get my mic in the right place, my voice. You know, your body language says a lot. Anyway, oh, here we go again, everybody. This is Andy Lopez, better known around the world as the Invisible Gardener, and my co-host, Deborah Gerson. Hi, Deborah.
Hi, how's everybody? Welcome to Don't Panic, It's Organic on a lovely Saturday afternoon.
Uh-oh. Are you on your cell phone, Deborah?
I don't have a cell phone. No, I'm not on a cell phone. No.
Oh, it seems to be breaking up either on my end, probably. Maybe the engineer let us know if it's okay, because I wasn't getting it totally. That's okay.
Oh, yeah. I think Don would let us know if it was breaking up.
Okay. Yeah, cool. So we have a lot of stuff going on, so I'm going to just go over this real fast, and then you can tell us what we're going to be doing. But
okay.
for stars, I think I announced the winner of the last month's contest. And so we have a new contest going on, and also a new something new, because I think I'm going to basically change it every month, you know, what you can win. So I never told you this, but I have a grower's kit, right? You know that, right? Told you that, Deborah?
Yes, and it's pretty spectacular, I think.
Well, it goes for $100, and it's a really good deal. And I don't know, I'm crazy to do it, but you get a 5 pounds of my Invisible Gardener's rock dust blend. It's not just rock dust, by the way. It's rock dust and microbes. I mean, it's the same stuff I use on my customers,
and they pay
a lot more money than. But for it's normally I sell it on my website for $49 for 5 pounds, and then. You also get a quart of the super seaweed, which we're going to be talking about, I think, in November. And that goes for $150 a quart.
Wow.
So you get a quart and 5 pounds, which is normally you would be spending at least $200 plus shipping. I sell it for $100.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I've heard of that too. But anyway, yeah. You were talking about your grower's kit.
Grower's kit.
And the giveaway for the winner for this month gets a grower's kit?
Right, you'll get a box in the mail, which will have a quart of my super seaweed, and you'll have 5 pounds of my special rock dust blend. And one of the things next week we have a rock dust person named Thomas Vanacore.
That's
so
correct.
We're going to start talking about more and more about rock dust. Hopefully, I want to get you to invite more and more rock dust specialists on, like my friend Joanna. I think I forgot her last name. I'm sorry, Joanna. But
Tampa,
she's with the remineralization.org, folks. Go ahead.
Yeah, I did email her. I haven't heard back, so.
Well, it's starting to break up again. But I'll just go through it. I don't know what's going on. But so we're going to be doing more rock dust stuff. So you get I have this rock dust blend and the super seaweed. Both of them are really ongoing experiments that I've been doing for over 30, 40 years now. Boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. So who knows what's going on? I have no idea because, you know, my headphones coming and going and things are happening. And I don't know what to do. Most of the show is gone already, isn't it? You there?
I'm here and we still have 45 minutes, so we're fine.
Okay, yeah, that's the show must go on. Kind of weird.
The show
anyway,
must go on.
We were talking about, I was using my headphone. I've always have, and the headphones are brand new. They're very expensive, and I use them for listening to music and writing my music and doing other stuff. I was on an interview not too long ago, and she was using Skype. It was working fine with Skype, so who knows what it is. The bottom line is that the contest gets the grower's kit. The winner gets the grower's kit, and they still get... It's not like they just get the grower's kit. They actually get the lifetime membership. I always give away a lifetime membership to the club, which means you get 22 books, 22 e-books. You get the e-book version of my latest book, Don't Panic, It's Organic. Members, you know, people can, when they join, they have a choice of paying $55 plus shipping, and then they get the printed version of the book. I gave you that, right? You have one of those?
I do.
Right. That's the printed version. So, but if you want to pay just $20 for a lifetime, you get... You get immediately access because you get all the ebooks. These ebooks is nothing. You can download them and read them online, and they're on your computer. You know, nowadays people don't read ebooks. I don't know how you're reading ebooks on your iPhone. It's impossible. But so for $20 they get the digital version of it, is what I call it. So they don't have to. All they do is download it. Personally, with me, I would pay the $55. And get the book, the printed version of the book, because it's something about a printed book. But anyway, you would get the Growers Kit and the membership. So the membership you would get right away in your email. You get that back right away. That's why when people call, if you call or you email, if you call, you need to tell the engineer your email number. If you just or if you email me, I already have the email number because they get put into a contest folder, and then I pick one from there. So that's a 200.
Let me give the call-in number in case you do want to call in.
Yeah, you have that list.
Yeah, our toll-free number here at BBS Radio is 888-627-6008, or you can Skype questions or comments to BBS Radio PR.
BBS Radio PR.
Yep.
I have to get my Skype name change to something really cool, because I right now it's got some weird thing. I don't even know what number of people will call me on Skype. I have to find out from Don what number he calls, you know. But anyway, the other thing that's going on too is we have EcoCat keeps wanting to come back, but if you can imagine the problem I'm having with this, I'm having major problems with getting him transferred over to a more. They have new software where they do, like, it's a studio, EcoCat. It's a studio that they do. And what I'm trying to do is figure out how to do to be able to convert it so that you can see it through the Skype or Zoom, for example. Because I could do it and post it up, you know, but I really like the interaction of people calling and talking to you, EcoCat.
Yes, yeah, EcoCat is fascinating.
So I want to try to do that. So I'm not really ready yet. I just got my green screen, which goes in the back here, you know, green screen. I think the green screen is the key to it, because what I'll do is I'll project EcoCat onto the green screen, and then hopefully the cam will pick up the green screen picture video, and maybe that's the key to it. You see what I mean? Plus,
yeah.
I'm also trying to figure out how to get before I used to do two computers. One computer, the Mac, would be the Skype. And the PC will play the music, and the Mac will pick up the music, and then you have the music. And I might go back to that. I have to try. I have to get Don to call me in advance so we can figure out a way to, because I like the music. You know, I don't like it so silent and quiet. You know.
Yeah, I understand you like that background. You like to interject the music when you feel like it, and you just need to call Don. Don's, you know, just call him during the week and
yeah,
set
we'll
up
figure
an appointment and work it out. Yeah.
So here's the other thing. So everybody knows I have a book out called Don't Panic, It's Organic. I'm hoping that everybody will go out immediately and buy the book. You can get it from Amazon. You can get it from any number of places. And
it's $20, guys, and it's well worth it.
There are a bunch of people that have bought the book, and they call me up. Hey, great, I got the book, because they're friends. I asked all my friends, please go out and buy the book. And you're my friend, buy the book. But now I'm trying to get them to do the review. They bought the book. That's great. they gotta go back on either to my website or Amazon, wherever they buy the book, and do a review. Because it's all part of the business of trying to sell more books, right? You know, and you have to have a foundation of people who like the book. So a lot of people love the book when they get it in their hands. Now we gotta get them to do a review. So the thing is that you can buy the book anywhere. It's $20. But you know, you can join for me if it's you pay $20 for the book and $15 for membership. I think it's $35 for a lifetime membership. So if you're, you know, it's not a bad deal. Or you can just but people are coming to my website and buying the book. That's okay on one level. But I'm not going to make my millions selling books off my website, because I got to package them and sell them. See, I'm not stupid. So I want you to go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble and order millions of books that way and leave a review. And that's important for me. Okay. So I'm hoping everybody figures that one out. I got friends that keep calling me up and I went to your website and I could see when they bought the book, and I a couple of times I would refund their money back and says, no, 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 no. I want you to go to Amazon or wherever to buy the book. Don't buy it from me. Anyway, that's what's going on. So also too, the newsletter is you know, if you should be getting the newsletter. If you're listening to the show, you should pick up the subscribe to get my newsletter. You just go to InvisibleGardener.com and you click on the newsletter and fill out the information. Everybody who signs up for the newsletter gets automatically entered into the contest. Anybody who emails me gets automatically entered in the contest. And anybody that calls gets automatically entered in the contest. Even those folks that call me in my office and say, I want to talk to you in person, all they have to do is mention the radio show and they get some time free with me. I normally a consultant, I charge $100 per hour to do exactly what they're doing for free, which is calling me on the phone, okay? So the other thing is that you should be getting my podcast. So you might be listening through here, through BBS Radio, but you should be getting the podcast, or if not, you either get the podcast right off of bbsradio.com or look for the podcast for my show, or you get the podcast from my website. Okay, so then I covered everything more or less. So today we're going to be what am I talking about today, Deborah?
We're talking about compost tea, what it is, how to make it, and why use it.
The only thing about compost tea I don't like, it tastes awful. You have to add so much molasses and maple syrup to it to sweeten it up to be able to drink the stuff. I don't understand.
I saw a YouTube video and somebody was adding beer to it.
Well, yeah. Right, beer is a fermented sugar. I'm getting that. That's a problem when you do the TV. See, now the TV is saying my voice. It may even re-echo back again to you. So I don't really need the TV on to listen to it. All I need to do is, well, I do because I have to be able, Deborah, are you there?
I am.
Okay, right. So we're going to have to figure this out because it doesn't really work having the TV say my voice. Okay. Are you hearing an echo from me or anything? No?
No.
Okay, cool. We'll leave it that way. So today we're talking about compost tea. And then next month in November, the first week of November, we're doing a compost show again. So we'll be talking about compost on and off all throughout the year. So it's like talking about rock dust on and off throughout the year. There's certain things I will be talking about all the time, right? The soil, you know, the trees. And so hopefully we'll be getting different people to come on, like with the compost tea. There's a couple of companies now that do, that's what they do. One's an earthworm place, believe it or not. It's an earthworm place, but they talk about compost tea. And specifically, they talk about earthworm casting tea. And so the part of the thing, I write a whole bunch of blogs. I have about 20 different articles already written on compost tea. So it's a wide range of things. We could talk about compost tea for whole months every show and still not cover everything that's needed. So what I want to do is I like to probably cut right through all this stuff and go right to the basics of compost, compost tea, why we do it, and what it is we hope we get from. Do you know what compost tea is, Deborah?
Yeah, it's the biology stripped off of the compost.
Say that again.
That's stripped off of compost into a liquid form that the plant can,
did you say stripped?
I guess, digest well.
Did you say stripped?
I said stripped, yes.
Wow, that's a new term. Biology stripped
off of the compost.
That's an interesting way to put it. I never thought of stripping biology out of the compost because you don't really strip it.
Well, you asked me.
You don't really strip it. You don't really take it, strip it, you know. Basically, you use it. And you take the compost. The idea, when you make compost tea, basically what you're doing is you have compost, you're growing, you're doing, right? You're making compost, right? And you're supposed to take a small amount of that, whether you put it in a tea bag, lots of different ways to do it. But basically, you let it either ferment or whatever you want to call it in clean water. And if you do it right in a certain way, you will end up having an environment where the microbes in the compost will increase and multiply. You're going to get more of them. And then that liquid is what you use to take it out to the world, whether you're spraying it or putting it in the soil, right? So you're not really stripping it. You're making more. You're taking compost and then taking it. Just say if you only have 1 billion microbes in this cup of compost, you're going to have 100 billion microbes by the time you're done in this liquid.
Mm-hmm.
Right? See, so you're not really stripping anything. You're just Taking compost and using it, right.
But
and
you're so, creating biology is what I was trying to say.
Creative biology, is that what you said?
No, you're creating biology by taking compost and soaking it in the water with molasses and other things to create this liquid.
Right, so in essence, you're not really creating anything. You're creating an environment that allows the biology to have babies and have more babies, more biologies. They're creating it. They're having babies and they're multiplying and they're doing the thing. See, right?
Uh-huh.
Right. So that's the idea of using compost tea, it's really because when I started, it's a basic principle in organic gardeners, organic farming, that they, you know, remember we were organic first and chemical after that, remember? You know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so for a long time, there was no chemical fertilizers whatsoever. So everybody was organic in that sense, because they made it. The old days of farmers would make things out of everything. You killed a cow, and you have a whole kinds of stuff come out of there. Or you'd, mm-hmm. when you right, when you cut a tree down, or when you harvest or do whatever, you have a way of making stuff that people make their own soap, they made their own their own natural pest control stuff, their own disease control stuff, from what they were growing, from what they were using.
Yes.
And manure is right there, right? Right up there, because you have animals right off the bat, and right off the bat, you're going to have manure, right?
How do you buy organic manure if you don't have organic cows in your area to put in your compost or to put in
your
compost tea?
Right. Okay. So you don't. So when I was a kid, I used to go out to Homestead in Miami, near Miami. Homestead is between Homestead and it's between Miami and Key West, Florida. Mm-hmm. I used to drive out to the country to get various different types of animal manure so I could put it in my compost, right?
And that was obviously organic because it was. You know,
well, you have to talk to the farmers. You have to say, okay, so what are you doing to the animals and what are you spraying on your manure? And so it doesn't make any difference. It does make a certain extent because, you know, if you have healthy cattle, for example, and they were mm-hmm. fed organic produce, or whether it be organic wheat or roam through the countryside that they have, you know, the farm that they have allowed to eat whatever food, they're all grown organically. That manure, but it's going to be very rich in a variety of minerals that are available on that property, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's... there was a person. Did you read my blog?
I did.
Okay, right. So you remember? Did you read the recent one that I said about a person emailed me? He listens to the show about bark beetles and minerals, and, mm-hmm. and he said mainly he was concerned because in the forest they're all dying left and right because the bark beetles are attacking, and this doesn't really help. And besides that, the forest should have all the minerals that it needs, right?
Yeah.
So I basically said, well, once the last time you've seen an animal die in your backyard, or even in the forest nowadays, you know, we have what happens is the animals used to roam up and down the whole world, right? The whole world, there's no fences anywhere, right?
It doesn't matter. The animals climb over my fence in my backyard anyway.
but the idea is that animals would roam. They would roam the countryside. They would roam.
They still do, I think. The deer roam. The mountain lions roam.
But there aren't that. The point is that there aren't as many as there used to be, and they don't have a wider range and all that stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right. So, and that was one way that minerals were transposed from one place to another. There are several different ways that Mother Nature has set up to remineralize itself, because the whole basis, a basis of living, there are many reasons why we're here, but one of the reasons we're alive, that our body is here, is to absorb minerals so that we can function, right?
Yeah.
Without the minerals, we ain't going to function. We could be missing a mineral, we have a problem. It's the same thing with the earth, same thing with what's the earth's job is to provide minerals to the things that are growing on it. By earth, I mean the soil. So the soil's job is to say, okay, let's take these rocks, break it down into minerals, and pass it on to my plants that I'm growing, my trees that I'm growing, the flowers that I'm growing, and in turn, anything that would eat does and so forth, right? That's how you get it. That's the whole mm-hmm. chain of life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Yes, I said yes.
Okay, well, I'm still not entirely hearing you. It's like we're going to have to eventually fix this, but it's much better. The last show, I didn't have this problem, so I'm thinking it has something to do. I have no idea what it does something to do. Because it can't be the speakers, because now it's the TV that's doing the same thing. So something else is happening outside of this range here, because it's not my headphone, because then the TV wouldn't be blinking on me. Right, because the TV is not connected to normal. Anyway, we're gonna have to figure it out. So, the thing is that in millions of years ago, and the way everything evolved, think of a rainforest. Okay, so in the rainforest, you have these like natural microbes in the air. Did you know that?
The microbes from the rain itself.
So in a long time ago, and it still is to this case, because scientists are finding out that microbes do live on the leaves of plants, not just in the soil.
But they're also in the air because that's how you make sourdough starter, you know.
Right.
Right.
There's all kinds of microbes floating around in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so in a natural environment like a forest or, you know, a long time ago without these chemicals, it was more natural. There was things more. So there was microbes in the air, and that's how plants grow. So so that's one of the reasons why we spray compost tea. We're spraying the microbes back onto the leaves, which should be there because they're being killed off by the toxic air, the toxic water. When you spray with a fertilizer, it kills them. You know, the environment tends to kill them over time, and especially since animals – there aren't as many animals. There used to be billions and billions of birds poo-pooing all over the place. Animals all over the place, dying and poo-pooing and moving. It was a wonderful time. Right?
Does urine not have any minerals? Like, you know, when animals urinate,
Right, the urine.
It's not the same as
exactly right. The urine has, it's every part of the animal is recyclable in a lot of different ways. Exactly right. Look up biodynamic system. That's pretty much what the whole basics of it. They say, look, so one of the formulations that they do is a biodynamic formula that allows you to make compost with, you know, that you sprinkle in your compost to help the compost break down and do its thing. But basically, you make it by putting it inside a cow's stomach and you bury it. And the mixture you make comes from a variety of different plants that go in there along with the manure, different types of manure, depending, you know, you get a wide range of manure. One of the things I never understood about them was that they never mentioned rock dust. To them, they get the minerals from the plants, which I think is cool. That's fine because you can't, you know, always, but I kind of evolved it into saying, okay, you can put rock dust in it, it's fine. You know, because
well,
you'll get
you,
the minerals.
Can you give our audience your, I mean, maybe you don't want to do this, but what is your ingredient list for your particular compost tea? Because I don't really understand. There's so many things that can go into it.
Yes, ma'am. Making compost is like baking bread. Everybody's got their own little thing going for them, you know. I just recently found out, my friend Sam showed me this compost bin setup that's really wonderful, and it looks like you can make lots and lots of compost for microbial use, and so I'm looking at that. So the thing is that everybody makes compost to some one degree or another, and a lot of the time the compost is totally useless. It's not really good. You didn't make compost, you know. I tell people, do you know the difference between when you're making compost and when you have rotting soil?
Anaerobic as opposed to aerobic. You point that out in your book.
Yeah, to some extent, because you know the anaerobic and aerobic. There's nothing wrong with that. That's the difference between beneficial bacterial or fungi population. So when you make a tea, you can make it one way or the other. So you know the difference between a bacterial spray and a fungal population.
No, spray? I would not know that. No.
Right. So when I talk about microbial, you know, I encompass them both. But a fungal is a different type of microorganism entirely. The way it functions and the way it transfers minerals and the way it works, you know, along with the soil. whereas the bacteria is basically a certain sets of bacteria. They're bacteria. They're different than, if you look at it under a microscope, you'll say, well, that's the bacteria, and these are different fungal population. They all have different names of different, you can see what they are. They look like little snails sometimes, or like little snakes, whereas the bacteria are more rounded, and they're bacterial in shape. They're bacteria. They're much smaller. But there are plants that are evolved over time to have fungal population sprayed on them, as opposed to bacterial population. It's just, for example, you think of a tropical rainforest as opposed to a desert or a mountain. See?
So would the tropical rainforest be, fungal or bacterial?
Well, that's exactly it. So when you think about compost tea and high fungal, which like we're using, where some castings would be high in bacteria, but lawns and vegetables would prefer bacteria, whereas certain types of fruit trees would prefer fungal, and you get the fungal from compost. But in a rainforest, right, in a rainforest, you would have more of a fungal environment than you would a bacterial environment. But the thing that's interesting about all this is that I was talking to people. I talk to people all the time, you know. And I was telling one of my columns I wrote that nowadays in your property, you know, like not so much in your place, but maybe down here in Southern California with these big, giant, multi-million-dollar homes, you have plants that are from all over the world.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they would. Yeah, I don't, but they might.
Right, so they have evolved to require either bacterial spraying or fungal spraying, see, right? And if they get neither or if they get the wrong one, they're not evolved to survive that, right?
Like, what does a palm tree need? I mean, you see all these palm trees in California, right? And they're not indigenous to California.
I'm sorry, say it again.
The palm tree that you see.
Right.
In California.
They're
it's
tropical.
Not indigenous.
Right. They're tropical.
Yeah. So what do they need? Fungal or bacterial?
They would go with fungal. Fungal. I still have most of my teeth out, okay? So don't laugh at me.
Okay, folks.
But here's the thing. Here's the thing that I have discovered over my ancient period of gardening is that nowadays, you need to spray both. You need to spray both. If you're doing a foliar spraying, you need to spray both bacterial and fungal population at the same time to all of the plants.
But what are the main ingredients that you use in your compost tea?
So in my compost tea, it depends on the time of year. So what I do is I do spray both, but it depends whether it's winter, spring, summer, or fall. Like, for example, right now I'm going into my fall spraying season, right?
Uh-huh.
And so the things that I'm spraying are very different than the things I just finished spraying in the summer, during the summertime. And then
so
on top of that,
types of tea to make?
Say that again. Yeah, right. It determines the type of tea, right. And on top of that, I make it specifically for their property. So I have one person that has about 1,000 palm trees, okay? You know who she is. She sings, and she's in Las Vegas now traveling, and somebody was living in her place selling drugs. You know what I mean? It's a four-letter word.
It must be Cher.
I didn't say that. You didn't say that. I didn't say nothing. I said nothing. She has palms. So then there are other customers who are more wide range of stuff. So they have hibiscus, or they all have a variety of exotic ficuses.
Oprah.
Lawn, for example. Yeah, lawns and whatever else like that, you know. And that's a little different. Another person has several thousand roses, we're crying out loud, okay? Roses. All right, so they require slightly different.
The Vanderbilt.
You have to think about, say, gee, what part of the world are they from? And then envision that part of the world, what type of environment they're living in, right? And that's how they have evolved. So if you take them out of that environment and you put them in this environment, then you're giving chemical fertilizers and the soil's dead and they're going, what the hell's going on? They're going to slowly die and they're going to have problems with diseases and all this kind of, it's a setup. So my compost tea this time of year, for example, I'll give you, so what I'm concentrate on, so I learned that when you do things in the, it takes a while to get, that's a long-term and short-term solution, okay? The long-term solution has to do with the soil, and this is long-term for a reason. That means anything I put in the soil now, whether I spray it, whether I soak it, it's going to take a while before you see the effects.
Probably like a year, right? You're talking about year or years.
Well, here's the thing, okay? I'm drinking this coffee. I make my own. I got a Blue Mountain Jamaican coffee, okay?
Sounds delicious.
Yeah, Blue Mountain's the best. So the thing is that I have customers I go to once a month, okay? And so I have quite a core group of customers. I think it's a 10 core group. That means they've been with me for 20 years or longer. Mm-hmm. And their places are already so it took a few years to get them going, but once I got them going and the soil's alive, so when I spray the compost tea in that place, they're going to get slightly different compost tea than this guy who should start it, you know, my first month.
I see, and that's why you're paid the big bucks, because you can determine.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah,
right?
I can determine which,
what you need
what's
to
going on. Exactly right. And yes. The thing is, you know, that's why we're doing on the November 17th. It's a show about Super CB Free Lifetime Membership. But basically, the show is, it's not a Super CB show. It's really a show. It should be called What Do I Do?
Well, you're going to be going over your spraying service, what you do as a soil doctor, compost
right,
tea,
soil
rock
doctor.
Dust, and introduce your grower's kit.
So I've been leaning toward soil doctor, because that's exactly what I do. So as a soil doctor, it's just like a human doctor. You go to a doctor and you say, doctor, I'm having this problem. Well, the doctor knows that you ain't going to recover like overnight. It's going to take you a little while to get back in shape again, regardless of whether you eat this medicine or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, so it's the same thing with the body of the soil. So when I first start, the first time I go to a customer and I spray something, I know that 99.9% of the microbial and the bacteria are going to die. This is going to not make it through to my next month. And so I have to establish a basis for these creatures, these living beings, to survive. And always it's very rude to say, there, go, live there, even though I know you're going to die. That's not very nice. But you have to tell them, okay, I want soldiers. I want people that could go out there and fight for them to survive. And so there are different types of bacteria that do that. See, these are I call them like primordial bacteria. Basically, they're the ones that breaks that were here a long time ago, and they have harsh conditions. So you put them where there's dead soil, they start to, and you give them half a chance, they will survive. They're
amazing. What are those, Andy? What are those bacteria?
Well, it won't do you any good for me to give you these names because they're long scientific names, okay? They're really long scientific names. It's easier if you read it. Even if you read it, you go, okay, right.
But does it come from your compost tea that you're spraying on the leaves of these plants?
So the key to everything I do is my super seaweed, simple as that. So I make the super seaweed, which is really basically a biodynamic spray.
Is that compost tea then? Your super seaweed?
So I take my super seaweed and I add that as a big part of what makes my compost tea. Because super seaweed, basically what it does, okay, so say you have the compost. Normally, just say you're a normal person and you don't have super seaweeds, you make some compost tea, right? Your compost tea is dependent. Your tea is dependent upon what you actually make your compost out. But let's just
assume, I don't even know how to make compost tea. Yet.
Right, that's why we're having a compost show on November 3rd. How to make compost? Okay.
I know how to make compost. I just don't know how to make compost tea.
Okay. Well, how do you make compost?
Well, I make compost by using dry ingredients and green ingredients and ingredients from my you know, vegetables that I cut up, and I put it in a pile out in my property that has a little bit of sunshine, not too much because it'll dry out, and I just dig it under the dirt, and sometimes I'll add some compost or I'll add organic humus to it or worm castings to help it along, and I give it a little bit of filtered water, and I just let it rest. And then I add more and I dig it in, but I just don't understand how to, if it's in a pile on my property, I don't know how to get the compost out because I'm always adding to it.
So you're like 99% of people on the planet that doesn't really understand how to make compost, and your compost is not really compost by definition. It's actually what I would call rotted soil that rotted down to this nice dig mixture. You're adding some earthworm casting to it, so it's good. And by humus, you don't mention what type of humus you're adding to it. So it doesn't look bad, but if you were to make compost tea and if your plants were to survive on it, if you say you're going to do a business based on your compost tea, you won't survive because you're missing tons and tons of things that are not in the compost, which need to be in. The number one thing would be some type of animal manure.
Yeah, I never added that.
Right, so if you don't add the animal manure to it, you're not going to have the essential microbial bacterial life to work with unless you go online and you buy. They have packaging now. It's one of the reasons why my super seaweed is so expensive. I go to a place called Down to Earth. It's one of them, you know, and they sell microbial life in a bag, all these different types of products. Well, now, especially since pot's legal, that's one of the things they key into. So they used to be, didn't cost very much. Now it cost me $60 for a tiny little ounce of this specific, because people are like me across the world, they were growing something and they keyed into, they started making this specific bacteria. They became really good at that. And that's why, and then now they sell it to other people. See, so everybody has their own little specific bacteria or microbe that they became really good at growing for whatever reason, environmental, right?
Right, but there must be, like, making any kind of a recipe. There must be a recipe for compost tea.
Well, the recipe, like any kind of recipe, it depends what part of the world you get the recipe from. You get Georgia apple pie.
I want Andy's recipe.
In Africa, you get African apple pie.
Malibu recipe.
Right, so it's going to vary, and you have to try to explain to people some of the basic things that's needed in there. And that, like I said, first thing is animal. When I make compost, I made a product called Organa. I made another product called Malibu Gold and Organa Gold. That's the name I gave it to them. But when I make compost, I have at least 10 different types of animal manure in there, 10 different kinds.
Wow.
You name it. It'll have chicken, it'll have rabbit, horse, have sheep. I have cow.
Bat.
We got elephant. I have llama. You name it. I got the poop. Okay, I got the poop.
You got the poop.
And the reason why they all are different microbials, like bacteria in it. I even have a source of buffalo poop bacteria. Buffalo is a place.
Is this organic poop or it doesn't matter?
And also, I got chicken. What?
Does it matter if it's organic poop or not?
Well, you try to stick to... Well, the thing is that if they were used chemically, the microbial life wouldn't be there because they got killed, right?
Yeah, right. So how do you know the elephants... I mean, how do you know...
Right, so the thing is that when I was getting it, I always, I was hired by the Barnum & Bailey Ringling Brothers Circus. Barnum
really?
& Bailey... Huh?
Really?
Yeah, and so they had a problem with their elephant manure. And they heard my radio show talk about, the two best type of animal manure on the planet is the elephant manure and the earthworm, the smallest and the biggest. And they both do the same thing. Food goes in one way and out the other way. They're a little processing machine. But the microbe that's in those stomachs of those creatures are absolutely amazing. That's why earthworm castings is one of the richest manure. It's basically not a compost. It's earthworm manure. Instead of calling it earthworm manure, they call it, instead of calling it earthworm poo-poo, they call it earthworm castings. So they say, let's call it the casting rather than a poop.
It's just more digestible that way.
Yeah, okay. Like for meses, instead of calling it poop, we'll call it meese castings,
But it's more grown up.
So and then on top of that, I don't just get – so I tried to get the – so they hired me to come and say, can you get all the elephant manure you want? And I said, cool. And the problem with the elephant manure was – see, the guy – they have like 20 elephants, right? And so this guy is in charge of cleaning up the elephant poop and take it up and put it over in the bin. The guy would come, I thought I told you to get rid of all this elephant. I said, dip it. As soon as I turn around, they all flop again. It's like continuous – elephant poop thing, there's no way to clean them up. So I told him, here's the single thing you do. You build a bridge. You park a truck underneath it, four-yard dump truck underneath it with a hole in the bridge. And the elephant goes over, drops it right into the truck. And you teach your elephants how, time to go to the bathroom. Okay, poop right in the hole into the truck. They love
it. Do the lions, you have lions poop too in the circus?
No, you don't use carnivorous poop because you could transfer.
Oh, only vegetarian animals?
Yeah, right. Because you're carnivorous, you could transfer. Well, we are carnivorous, and you could transfer. Well, that's only if you did it right, it wouldn't happen. But most people don't even understand that compost has to be heated up to a certain temperature. It has to be at a certain temperature for it to work. What?
Is it 170?
170. Wow, cool. Well, that's an absolute minimum. That's like the lowest level. But my stuff was like around 200. Degrees because I also wanted to get rid of certain types of pathogens and bad bacteria and stuff like that. But the other thing that I would add to the compost process, because that's the best way to do it, is to add the rock dust to the compost process. Because one of the reasons why you are making compost is to duplicate nature. And the way nature does is you have poop drops and the bacteria there breaks down the rocks. Eats the rocks was there, breaks on the minerals, and then the bacteria gives the minerals to the trees. See? So we're not doing that, so I'm gonna provide the minerals that they need. So when you're making compost, and I get I'm doing a video on rock dust, how to make your own rock dust blend, plus we're gonna having a show about rock dust coming up really soon. I mean, as a matter of fact, next week we're gonna be talking about rock dust. And so we're gonna start that process because it's not a simple one, but it actually really is. And it's actually rocks and dust and minerals. Not that hard to figure out.
How come you can't use bones from animals? Like people make bone broth, and there's a lot of great minerals and whatnot in bone broth for people. You can't use discarded bones of animals that have died.
I never said you couldn't do so. That's what was used for a long time.
Yeah, I'm just wondering. If I had
an organic farm, nothing would get thrown out. Nothing.
I would have
animals because that's what you do. You have animals. Even if you're vegetarian, you don't have to eat them. You just help them do their thing and let them live a good, healthy, long life. And when they die, you use all the different parts of them to return it back to the earth. There's nothing wrong with that.
Can you use chicken poop? Because I know that chickens eat meat.
Right. So what about chickens?
They eat meat.
Yeah, so?
So can you use the chicken poop in your compost?
Right, chicken manure is fine because the bacteria breaks it all down.
I thought you said only vegetarian.
Well, I meant carnivorous, and even though
Okay, got it.
So even though chickens are considered, I don't consider chicken carnivorous.
they do eat snails. Meat.
They do eat earthworms, so I guess they're carnivorous on the very low end scale of it, right?
And they'll pick the meat bones if you give them to them.
And do they eat you if it was a big chicken, would it eat you?
Maybe if I died and I decayed, it might pick on me.
So I would add rock dust to the compost process. And then if you have these blend of different manures and bacteria in it, and you have the minerals, and you have an environment, that's why the carbon to nitrogen ratio is important. That's part of the environment. You have to learn about water and about different things. But if you do it right, the end product is going to be bacterially, minerally rich product. And that's the perfect product to make the tea out of.
I see. Okay. So can you test your homemade compost? Can you send it somewhere to test it?
Well, there's lots of different ways to test what's working. So what I learned a long time ago is how to read the Brix levels of plants.
Which we'll be talking about this month, I think.
On the 27th, right. Right. After the next show, it's called The Relationship Between Brix, Minerals, and Pests and Diseases. And that right there is the key to everything that I've been doing forever, and it's a key, and it's a very important, I can't overemphasize it, but it's a key to all the different diseases and pests and everything that we're having on plants and trees, as well as humans. You can say, well, we don't do a Brix level for humans, but there's still a relationship between minerals and pests and diseases in your body, see?
Mm-hmm.
And I can't say nobody's picking up on it, but it doesn't look like they're really picking up on it, because you have all these...
You don't hear much about it.
No, and... one of the things, I had a book, I turned it into a book review, and the lady gave me a 2 out of 4 review. And the two things that she said on it was that I had too many capital words in all capitals. She didn't like that, even though I did it on purpose. I don't think it's a mistake if I do it on purpose. And she also said, I spelled don't panic. It's organic wrong. It's supposed to have the apostrophe on top and the it's on the it's. And no, I spelled it the other way, too. So the two things she turned me down on was things I did on purpose. But one of the things she said, you really got to read the section on bricks because that's absolutely way over our head. And it's the future of understanding how we deal with things, you know. And because it is a big issue. And I'm always trying to teach professionals. They're the hardest ones. Educated people are the hardest ones to say, hello, 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 wake up, hello. And without insulting them, I learned in the beginning, I used to say, you're absolutely stupid. And I would insult them, never be able to talk to them again. Now I say, look, I understand where you're coming from, and I appreciate it if you understand. If you can see what I'm trying to explain and then use that and prove it to me that it doesn't work, right? Because I can prove it to you over and over and over and over and over and over again.
That's why your service is so important. What you do is a lot of people don't understand what you do.
Right, and they don't get it. And the places that I do take care of, the weakest link is their gardeners. That's the weakest link. And then this guy was at one house the other day, and I see these little tiny pellets all over the place. I'm looking, and I'm looking a little closer. I pick it up. These are little fertilizer, round fertilizer stuff. This gardener decided to sprinkle everywhere. And I contact the head gardener. I said, what is going on? You're not supposed to do any of this stuff. He said, I'm sorry. I had a new person out there. He didn't know. I forgot to tell him he's not supposed to do any of this stuff. And I have no idea what's going to happen because that's going to kill. Because I've been going there for 10 years.
So it's going to stop the process that you began.
Well, this stuff is bad for the soil. Chemicals will kill the soil and destroy everything and cause stress. The trees will look at me and go, what is going on? They're going to get stressed because they're going to get all this sugar, right? So imagine all of a sudden you ate a lot of sugar in your body, right?
Yes.
And you're going to go, whoa, right? It's like, holy cow. Yeah, and I can tell because, and so I have to, and the worms are going, save me, save me. And it's like, absolutely ridiculous. That's the weakest. And of course, the gardener, so I was at another place. It was really hot here in Malibu, blah, blah, blah. The gardener decided to up the watering. It was, how are we going to water more? Well, the ants, the plants were floating in water. And the ant, I told the lady, look, your ants are wearing shorts and glasses. I think you're watering too much.
They're enjoying themselves way too much.
You know, ants spread diseases, and this series of plants had the sooty mold, which is basically spread by ants. And the way it works is the ants will, ants have the ability to see when a plant is stressed out. They say those plants are stressed out. It doesn't make a difference the reason why. In this case, is too much water is killing the bacteria in the soil. But the plants are food time. So what they do is they bring aphids along. And they attack the tree and suck the blood out of the plant, right? And they make a nectar, which then the aphids milk them. And they take the nectar back to their colony. But the ants, they leave a lot of nectar behind, and this mold grows on that nectar.
We got 3 minutes, Andy.
I understand. I didn't hear what Don's saying. So
I'm the engineer right now.
Yeah, it's good. So we'll have to fix this. But that's So the compost tea is one of the easiest things to make, but because of it, people are not making anything anywhere near what they should be making.
But we haven't really given them the recipe for compost tea. Maybe that could be another show.
Well, here's the thing: the recipe for compost tea is really basics of compost. So when we do the compost show, you're going to get a recipe. This is how you make compost.
I see.
Well, guess
what?
If you make this, following this recipe to make the compost, then you can make compost tea because all you do is you take compost and you and put in a tea bag and you let it sit in clean water.
I see. See? Yes. I got you.
Right. So
that makes sense.
One of my shows, I talk about the length of time that you let the compost tea sit, and we'll talk about that too when we talk about bricks, we'll talk a little bit about compost. But when we do the compost show, I mean, we're going to be talking about this all throughout all different shows to try to explain it more to people.
Because it's so important, right?
Yeah, you don't need to try to get it all, but that's one reason why you want to join the club. That's one reason why, as a member, I'm right there for you all throughout your lifetime. You won't be able to get rid of me.
So join the club, the Invisible Gardener.
Right. So it used to be called the Invisible Gardeners of America. And then people, then I was on the internet, and then people said, wait a minute, I'm in China or Russia. I don't want to join Invisible Gardeners of America. Do you have anything more global? So I changed it to Club IG, like Club Med.
Yeah, that's a wonderful title, Andy, actually a wonderful title.
Good. So people come and visit InvisibleGardener.com. Check out my new book.
Join the club.
Lots of videos up there. Join the club. If you did nothing, just sign up for the newsletter. That way you can get to enter the contest. And who knows, you might win. I might just say everybody who enters wins. And it won't hurt me because it's all electronic. I just send you one. You won. So I wanted to do this. Everybody that enters, sends me email or subscribe for the newsletter, you will get somebody back right away so you have won. So now's a good chance to get my free ebook, 20 of them, for example. You're going to get 22 ebooks when you join. Now, the Dances with Ants, there's tons of them up there. Natural Lawn, How to Keep Mosquitoes from Biting You. Just come and check it out. You'll see. So is it time for me to go yet, Deborah?
It is. Thank you for listening, everyone.
Take care now. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. See you next Saturday.